Heavenly Father, we turn our attention to you. We need you in this moment. Come and speak your heart to our hearts. Come and speak your heart to our church. Lead us, guide us, shape us. Be with us in these moments, we pray. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're a visitor with us today, we are absolutely delighted to have you with us. You have joined us at a really interesting point because as a church right now, we're on a bit of a journey together. A number of weeks ago, we began a journey into our values, our ethos, that which is the culture of Glasgow Elam, the shared behaviour and attitude that we own together as a group of people. And we called these out a number of weeks ago, and these aren't things that we're aspiring towards. It's not that which we're working towards or calling out that has to be. This is what we believe is already in the soil of the church, what already is at our very roots. And we're just seeking to call that out and come into alignment with that. We called out four things that I believed that God had given to us as our values, as our ethos, and they are that presence is our priority, family is our foundation, authenticity is our approach, and serving is our stance. And we're on a bit of a journey right now where we're taking a bit of time in each of these to explore what does the Bible say about these, and therefore how can we biblically step into the shape that God has called us to have. And so we spent some time in the first of our values, presence is our priority. And then about 2 weeks ago, we transitioned from that into family is our foundation. And what we're really looking at is how family has to be our foundation when presence is our priority. And last Sunday, the plan had been to steer into the next part of that teaching, but God seemed to have other ideas. And after our superhero Sunday and a bit of worship, we decided just to follow the presence of God. And we never quite got to the word of God. But when you say presence is your priority, then you kind of have to follow his presence, don't we? So we took a bit of time on that. This week then, we steered into that message. The good news was that last week the plan had been, because of all that was going on, that we're going to steer into it and it was going to be really brief. But this week, we don't need to worry about that. I can feel the joy rising up inside of you. But we're going to just spend some time unpacking this together. So we're on Family as Our Foundation, and here's what we've said. We are a church that nations and generations call home. The experience of family is foundational in everything that we do. The passage of scripture that we're using as a guide for this value is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And if you have your Bible with you, I would really invite you to open it up, turn it on, or turn to that part of the Bible with us. We're going to pull out some thoughts from these verses. It says there, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." The Apostle Paul, as we read these verses, he brings us into this moment and into this divine exchange that is all about foundations. Hence why we turn to this passage when we're looking at a value that is all about foundations. And the language used here and the references that we find within these verses, they all point to foundations and they all call out that which is foundational. Now, we spent quite a bit of time a couple of weeks ago when we first arrived in these verses, we spent quite a bit of time looking at Paul's posture because it's the first thing that our attention is drawn to when we arrive in these verses. He says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father." Now, Paul could have written these verses without telling us anything about his stance and without revealing anything to us about the posture that he had taken. And even without the knowledge of the stance and his posture, we would still have been able to draw sufficient meaning and an adequate understanding from what it is that he's saying. Because what he goes on to say is stunning and powerful. It is broad, it is deep, it is packed full of phenomenal truth. But it would seem that specifically and intentionally, Paul informs us that he is kneeling. Before he steers into all that it is that he's got to say, before he starts launching into all that it is that he wants to tell us, and what he wants to tell us and where he's leading us is powerful and amazing. But before he goes into any of that, he specifically wants us to know, and he specifically wants us to understand his posture and all that his posture communicates. And it communicates lots. And that's what we spent a lot of time a couple of weeks ago unpacking. Ultimately, what his posture speaks of is foundations. He is kneeling. He's embodying a stance that by very nature sees an individual connect more of their mass, more of their body structure to the ground. His posture connects him to the foundation under his feet. So even just the way that Paul exists as he approaches God, even the very manner that he approaches God with, all of that speaks to us about foundations, and it speaks to us about that which is foundational to him, foundational to his everything, is the one who is foundational to everything. It is the Father from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. And even as we say that, even as we call out what he's telling us there, I kneel before the Father from whom every family derives its name, even there his posture communicates more to us. His posture is about positioning. His posture positions him in presence. And in this place of presence, Paul begins to reveal to us what it is that flows out of there, what it is that he finds there. And it's not what you think. You would think as he's kneeling before the Father of all creation, that he would have revelations of righteousness and revelations of glory and revelations of the strength and the power of God. But he tells us that flowing out from there, what he finds there is not what we think, it's family. He says, from God, all family derives its name. Flowing out from the presence of Father is family. And as Paul prioritizes the presence of God, as he postures his soul in such a way that it transitions him into the presence of God, he finds that foundational to all of that is family. Which means when you place presence as your priority, you have to begin to hold family as your foundation, because family flows out of presence. But what we draw our attention to today is what hits us as we steer into these verses, or the next thing that hits us. And what hits us as we steer into these verses isn't Paul's revelation. He goes on to tell us about that further on. But the first thing that hits us when we come into these verses isn't his revelation, it's his reason. There is a reason for his prayer. There's an intention behind his approach, a motive for his posture. He says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father and I'm praying that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now that's quite a mouthful, isn't it? And if we're honest, the wording here is a little bit clunky. Even for one who really likes to use a lot of words when you could only use few, for one that likes to use lots of words, you read this and you think there must be a more straightforward way of saying this. But what Paul calls out here in his prayer and his rhetoric is quite important. He calls out Trinity. He tells us that he kneels before the Father and he prays for the strengthening of the Spirit and he prays for the indwelling of Christ. And this is one of the few scriptures where all three members of the Trinity are directly referenced together in the one place. Now, the doctrine of the Trinity is at the very foundation of our faith. We believe that God is three, but yet he is one. This is foundational to everything. It shapes everything that we know and everything that we understand about God. It shapes the way that we approach him and the way that we experience him. All of that is shaped by this foundational truth of Trinity. And Paul calls this out right at the very beginning of this passage. Here is this nod to foundations again. Paul takes this foundational posture. He lowers down to kneel. He comes into a stabilizing position. He lowers to the foundations of the earth, and he comes to that which is foundational to his everything. He comes before God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's in the fullness of God's presence here. This is like glory stuff being described to us here. He's in the very foundation of the Trinity, in the very foundation of God's presence. And what he finds in that foundational place, his family. Flowing out from God's reality, flowing out from his presence, his family. And what he experiences in this foundational moment is what he then begins to pray for us. He prays that we would have the same experience and that we would have the same and enter into the same discovery. He prays that we, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we could be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. He prays here that we would come to a place of being rooted and established. Being rooted and established, that's foundational terms right there. When you're rooted in something, well, you're planted in that which is, well, foundational. When you're established, you're building upon foundations. So this is all foundational language. He prays that we would come to this foundational place, and he prays that we would come into this foundational experience, and that we've been rooted and established, that is, we've been secure and steadfast, that we would then begin to reach out, and we would begin to reach up, we would begin to press in, we begin to push through, that is, that we would go higher and deeper and wider and further in order to grasp the love of Christ. Now, we could dine out on this all day, but we don't have all day. Well, I'm assuming we don't have all day, unless you're telling me otherwise. I mean, I'm happy to hang about. No. But we could dine out on this all day, but don't worry, we're not going out. So we just hone in on a few things, and we call them out to land in our hearts and our souls and within the soul of our church. Paul's prayer here is about us grasping the love of Christ. And this, again, is foundational stuff. At the very foundation of our faith is the love of God. This is Christianity 101. God is love. God loves us, and we love him, but actually we love him because he first loved us. And he loves us unconditionally. And here's the amazing thing about God. We can be grasping high and long and wide and deep all of our lives, but we will never, ever be able to fully get to grips with how wonderfully extreme, how incredibly and powerful, and how all-encompassing is the love of God for us. But even though we could spend all our lives trying to grasp this and never been able to accomplish that, Paul's prayer is that we would spend our whole lives trying to. His prayer is that we would spend our whole lives exploring the extremities of God's love. And as we do, that we would be bowled over and over and over and over again at just how phenomenal his love is. But here's the thing. Paul says that this grasping that we've to do, it involves a corporate dimension. I.e., what we've to hold in our grasp is that which we cannot hold and we cannot fully grasp on our own. We need to do this together with all the Lord's people. Now, there's a number of things that this passage suggests to us that isn't the easiest to swallow, as in, when you see it on paper, you're like, yep, I get it. But when you then begin to move from theory into practice, it can become a little bit harder. This passage suggests five things. First is this. Family isn't meant to be lived alone, but within the context of family. Number two, being rooted and established in love and ultimately in faith involves us being together, together with all the Lord's holy people. Number three, there is power in the together. Number four, the gathered experiences of the Lord's holy people teach us about the love of Christ and bring us within its reach. And number five, family is defined as together with all the Lord's people. Now we're going to take each of these, and don't worry, I hear the inner groan. We're going to take each of these and give them just some very brief thought. And we begin with the first one. Faith isn't meant to be lived alone, but within the context of family. When you begin to look at what Paul does and what Paul says here, when you look at his writing, you see that there is this constant direction of travel. We move from his own posture to the presence of the Father, to our own hearts and lives, and then to the experience of the whole church. We move from the purpose of his prayer, "For this reason I kneel before the Father," to the object of his prayer, "I'm praying that you would be rooted and established in faith," to the outworking of that, that you with all the Lord's people would begin to grasp the phenomenon of the love of God. We move from the purpose of his prayer to the object of his prayer to the outworking of his prayer. There is movement. And even in the language, we move in the language from I to you to everybody. There is this constant direction of travel. There is this constant movement in what he is saying and what he is writing. He says, "I kneel, and I kneel for a reason. And the reason is that I'm praying for you and I'm praying for everybody." He says, "I, you, everybody," travel, movement. "I pray that you would have an experience. I pray that you would be strengthened in your inner being and that Christ would dwell in your heart. I'm praying for you to have an experience. And the experience that I'm praying for you right now is the experience that I'm having right now at the very foundation of his presence. Because I'm praying that you, together with all the Lord's people, would begin to grasp and grapple the love of Christ." There is this constant direction of travel with Paul, from I to you to all. And this is the direction of travel that his soul takes when he postures himself in the presence of Father, from whom all family derives its name. He comes and he starts in the I, and then he finds that his soul moves to the you and then to the everybody. You see, in the presence of Father is family. And in the presence of the Father, the focus of the soul is constantly moved, constantly shifted towards family. We see it with Paul. Paul moves his focus from himself to others and then on to the church as a whole, as an entity. And you know, this constant movement of focus, this constant shifting focus, this is a reflection of what it's like to live and exist within a natural family. In family, the place of focus is constantly shifting. From I to you, to all, to you, to all, to I, to you, to all, to you, to I. It's constantly shifting. I hope you wrote that down. In family, there are times when the focus is on ourselves, on our own needs, on our role and our function within the family unit, on what we need from the family around us within this journey of life. And then there are times that the focus shifts to the other people who are our family, to their needs, to our heart and affection towards them, to the role and the function that they take within our lives and that we take within their lives. And then there are times that the focus sits not on ourselves, not on somebody else, the focus sits on the family unit as a whole, who we all are, what we're all doing, what we have, what we need, where we're going, what shape we're adopting. See, in family, the focus is always shifting. And if you're part of family and your focus isn't always shifting, you ain't doing family right. In family, the focus is always shifting. Paul comes into this foundational experience. He comes to that which is at the foundation of his faith. He comes into the very presence of Father, and he finds that the focus of his soul shifts from I to you to all. I kneel before him and I pray for you, and then I pray for all the Lord's holy people. There is this direction of travel that happens when you place presence as a priority, a shift, a transition. It is all about holding family as your foundation. Paul records him kneeling before God. He records his prayer life, his devotional time, his interaction with God. This is a very personal moment. This is like his quiet time, although I hate that phrase, quiet time. Because time with God doesn't always need to be quiet, does it? Okay, it's just me that has that opinion. But we look in on something very intimate and personal. This is Paul coming before God to devotionally spend time with him. And what he finds is that that time doesn't just involve himself, but others. It involves family. We're not intended to make this journey alone. Our faith journey does not revolve only around the self or the individual encounter or the personal experience of God. It involves and revolves around a corporate experience. It requires family. And therefore, like Paul, it requires this shifting and moving focus. Yes, there are times that we need to come before God and we need to deal with our own souls and the contents within and receive from him and be changed by him. And there are times that our focus has to then be on serving others and playing a role and a purpose within the life of another or within the lives of the people around us. But then there are times when the focus is not really on you and it's not really on me, but it's on the we. The focus is on all of us together. How we behave, how we function, how we are shaped. It's not about my needs or even your needs, but it's about ours. It's not about my purpose or even serving your purpose, but it's about serving our purpose that we're all shaped with. It's not about where I'm going or where you're going, but it's about where we are going. That's the beauty of church family. There's this incredible complexity that's going on where I'm on a journey within that and you're on a journey within that, and those can be totally different journeys, but yet together we're all on the one big journey. We have needs and you have needs and I have needs, but then together as a people we have needs. You have a purpose, I have a purpose, and I'm exploring that and you're exploring that, but then together we are exploring a wider purpose. And within that wider purpose, mine comes alive and yours comes alive. And as it does, the wider purpose comes alive. Faith in Jesus is this really wonderful and equally stretching adventure. It's about me, it's about you, it's about all of us together, because that's the journey of family. In natural family, each individual's journey is the journey of the family. But yet the family together takes a journey as well. And that's because being rooted and established in love and ultimately in faith, it involves us being together, together with all the Lord's holy people. I think it's interesting the way that Paul writes these verses, the way that he communicates, it almost suggests that the way that we are rooted and established in love is in the together. It's when we're together with all the Lord's people, that's when we find that we become rooted. That's when we become established. In other words, that which brings safety and security is the wider experience of family. It's when I come alongside you and together we begin to reach out and together we begin to grasp the love of Christ. That's when I begin to find solidity. That's when I begin to find solidarity. That's where security and safety are located. Folks, the together is an anchor. The together is a foundation. The together is a place of strength. It's a place of calibration. It's a place of growth. because that's what comes out of roots. Life and growth come out of roots. So when we come and we are rooted together, that's what we expect to happen, life, growth. Equally, the together is a place of identity, it's a place of longevity, because that's what's found when things are established. Things that are established are those that have a fixed identity. They have legacy, they have intentionality, they're strong, they're not striving or floundering because they're established. And Paul's prayer for the rooting and establishing of the Ephesian believers is to be outworked in a together with expression. It's to be outworked in family. So you could say that to be rooted and established is to place family as your foundation, because without it, you aren't really rooted and established in anything. In fact, if we were to take Paul's words and just read them as he says them, to be rooted and established is to place family as your foundation, because without it, you are not rooted and established in faith at all. Without family, there's no growth. Without family, there's no life, there's no safety, there's no identity, there's no security, because there is power in the together. Paul specifically prays that we would have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp the love of Christ. You could almost read this as being that the power for grasping the depths of Christ's love is only properly unlocked within the together. There's a power in the together. And you don't need to go far in the Bible to find examples of that. The pages are packed full of God-filling moments of unity, of God turning up within moments of shared mission and shared passion. There are countless stories when his presence comes down among, takes a place of priority amongst a people group. And whenever his presence takes the priority within a people group, what he does is he begins to shape that people group into a community, and he begins to manifest in their togetherness. Sure, we can see that there are aspects in which God comes close to us and meets us in our individual spaces and in our independent worlds. And they are so significant. But we would also recognize that there is something extra, something more, something powerful that takes place when we're in the together with times. The spaces when together with one another, we pray. And together, we seek. And together, we listen and we hear and respond. And together with one another, we act and we serve and we move. There is a power, there is a depth, there is a significance attached to the together with moments. There is power in the together. And that empower enables a group. It enables a grasp, a holding, a reaching out to and grabbing on to the love of Christ. Like, if you think about it, when you come together and are rooted together, that together expression brings a greater solidity and foundation to begin to reach further and higher than it would have on its own. The together brings with it a discovery of the height and the depths, the width and the breadth of the love of God. Because the gathered experience of the Lord's people teaches us about the love of Christ and brings us within its grasp. Being together with the Lord's people is what teaches us about the love of Jesus. I teach you, you teach me, and together we learn from his heart. From you and from me come glimpses of the dimensions of God's love. Your story of grace coming alongside my story of grace shapes the overall experience of this house and the understanding that we hold about his grace and what it is his grace does and how his grace works. It shapes how we move and how we function. It shapes the way that we welcome, the way that we worship, the expressions that we contain. Your story of grace coming alongside my story of grace, coming alongside each other's stories of grace, it shapes the way that we reach out to others, shapes the way that we encourage one another, even the willingness to support each other and journey alongside each other. Because we can look at one another and say, yeah, I've been there and I've done that and I bought the t-shirt. We share those wounds or we see that pain and we recognize that pain, and what he's done in us or what he's doing in us motivates us to comfort one another and walk together and work together. And so what we find then is that when we bring our carried story of grace together, we begin to learn together. We learn the heart of God, not so much from sermons and rhetoric and preaching pulpits, but from the height and the depths and the breadths of God's love is seen in sitting in a room full of people from different nationalities, different cultures, different ages, different backgrounds, different life experiences, sitting in a room full of people who are different, that if we were brutally honest, in the real world, we would never give each other the light of day. But we come together and we're united in a pursuit of Jesus Christ. We learn about his love when we look round the room that he's called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We learn about his heart when we hear each other's stories and we see the transformation that he has brought. And when your revelation and relationship with Christ comes and sits next to my revelation and relationship with Christ, that's when real learning begins to happen. That's when deeper revelation happens. When your revelation sits next to mine, depths is found there. That's when we grow, that's when we share, that's when we minister, that's when we encourage, that's when we begin to see, as Paul puts it, the measure of the fullness of God. We encounter his heart when we learn to see it in one another's actions. And we hear his voice when we learn to hear it in one another's words. And we learn a huge amount about the breadth and the depth of love when, if we're brutally honest, we come into the together moments and we rub each other up the wrong way and we pee one another off. And when you look across the room at someone and you think, I really can't stand you. Like, something they've said, something they've done, the way they've treated you, you're like, I can't stand you. I can't stand the sight of you. I can't stand the way that you look, the way that you move, the way that you breathe. I can't stand the fact that you are breathing. And you look at someone and you think, I can't stand you. And then you see the hand of God at work in their lives. That's the really annoying bit. Like, I can't stand the very sight of you, but God's moving in your life and he's changing you. That's when you learn the unconditional love of God, because our love is conditional. And you're like, listen, love, you have removed yourself from any of the conditions attached to my love. It's not there for you, son. But God loves and God moves. That's when we really begin to learn about the love of God from one another. The height and the breadths and the depths and the widths of his love. You see, the first place that we experience love in life is from family. We come into this world and we depend upon family to nurture us and train us and guide us, and we depend upon them to love us, and from family is our interpretation of love. It has the power to shape that, to shape the way that we love and the way that we are loved. And if that's the case for the natural family, then the same is the truth for a spiritual family. When we come together with the Lord's people, this smorgasbord of people that we're called to call family, they teach us about the heart of Jesus. And more than that, the together moments actually bring his heart within our reach. Because God loves family. The very foundation of his presence is found family. So when we come together to do and to be family, we create a foundation for his presence, a landing pad for his glory, Scripture says he commands blessing over unity. So when we come together as the Lord's people, it actually brings his heart within our reach. It brings his heart within our grasp because he walks among family. Family holds the power to bring the presence of Father near and the experience of his heart close. But what do we mean when we talk about family? We could spend an age building a deep theological and doctrinal definition of family, and don't worry, we're not going to. Because Paul actually makes it really clear and simple. For him, family is defined as together with all the Lord's people. He says, I'm in the presence of God, and there in the depths of that, I find family. And then he begins to talk about a group of people together experiencing love. That's what family is. Family is a group of people doing life together because of love. So Paul makes it really simple for us. Family is defined as together with all the Lord's people. When we come together with the Lord's people, we find family. Whenever we are together with, we're in the experience of family, and that experience then contains tremendous power. It contains teaching potential. It holds revelations of the Father within it. It brings his heart within our grasp. When we come together to wait on him, we do family. When we come together to worship and to hear his word, well, we're doing family. When our kids come together to have fun and to learn and to worship, whether it's in this big room with us or whether it's in their own separate rooms, well, they're doing family. When our youth come together and play hidey in the dark and eat chips and curry sauce, when they're together with one another, they're doing family. When we meet together as men, when we meet together as women, when we meet together as young adults, we're doing family. When we come together and there's spiritual dimensions to it, and when we come together and there are no spiritual dimensions to it, like hitting balloons about a room to the Benny Hill theme tune. When there's moments that have spiritual content and there's moments that doesn't have spiritual content, whenever we're together, we do family. And as family flows from him, then it's always spiritual. When we meet in small groups, when we meet one and one, or we meet in the multiple hundreds like we're doing today, we do family. There is no prescription for family. Just that when we're together with the Lord's people, when we come together and embrace that which is at the very foundation of his presence, when we come and we are together with, that's the family that flows out of his presence. That is the foundation into which he pours his presence. So every format and shape has the potential for heaven on earth. So why would we not explore? Why would we not embrace? Why would we not prioritize and place importance on the together with moments in all of their varying shapes and sizes? Because they all contain power and they reveal his heart. They are his design for our lives. They are his design for our church. And I think we need to grasp this a little bit and shift this a little bit. Because in church circles, we place this tremendous focus on the spiritual stuff happens when we're intense in worship or we're on our faces groaning in prayer. Let me tell you, I spent a bit of time on my face groaning, but it wasn't in prayer this week with that virus. Oh, I called on him many times. But we place this focus on the spiritual stuff as the super intense stuff. But what if we actually understood? According to Scripture, whenever we do family, we're doing the most intensely spiritual thing we could ever do. That when we come together with one another, every together with moment is a landing pad for glory. Every together with moment contains revelations of his heart. the potential to learn more about him, deeper revelations of him than we can carry on our own. When my revelation of Christ and your revelation of Christ come and sit next to one another and communicate with one another, something deeper comes out of that than if they were separate and isolated. When we do small groups, when we come together as men, as women, as young adults, in age groups, as friendship groups, as men, whatever it is, whenever we come together, there's power in that. And yet we're like, nah, not this week. Maybe next week. Ah, it's been a tough week. Do you know what? In the tough weeks, that's even more so the times that we need the together with times and experiences. It's when we need to come and learn from one another. I can't stand him. I can't stand her. That guy up the front of the pulpit that thinks he's funny and he's really not, can't stand him. That's when we learn the unconditional nature of his love. The worst bit, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever had this, when you're like, I cannot stand you. And they come and they're like, I've got a word for you. You're like, oh, really? All right then. And it's the most profound thing you've ever heard in your life. And you're like, really? You see, when you place presence in a place of priority, means you have to begin to hold family as your foundation. And as a church, we've went all out. And God has really met us recently. As we've pursued presence as our priority, he has come close. But what this means is that we need to begin to hold family as our foundation. And let it shape us. And begin to explore it. And I can't wait to begin to do so. Family is our foundation. We are so blessed to be a church that nations and generations call home. And we commit that the experience of family is going to be foundational in all that we do. So if you hold presence as your priority, and you have a heart to go after the presence of God, and I encourage you, you need to hold family as your foundation. We need to come into alignment with this value. I think this is really important for going even deeper in his presence. And I think this is important for this call that's on us to steward glory. We need to prioritize the together with moment. To find the value in bringing our revelation and relationship with Jesus to come and sit alongside each other's revelation and relationship with Jesus. And let life come from that. Let's be a people that are rooted and established. That as we come and root and establish together, we find this really strong base that allows this deeper, higher, wider, longer reach into the love of Christ, that would transform us, our city, our communities, and our own homes and families. I really do believe that when we as a church prioritize family, that the impact of that will be seen in our own nuclear families. As God's landing pad takes form and he comes and he moves amongst us with his heart. Glasgow Elam, let's hold family as our foundation.